Our sermon today picks up from the reading that we've already heard from Acts chapter 24, verses 10 through 26. When the governor motioned him to speak, Paul replied, "I cheerfully make my defense, knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation. As you can find out, it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem. They did not find me disputing with anyone in the temple or stirring up a crowd either in the synagogues or throughout the city. Neither can they prove to you the charge that they now bring against me. But this I admit to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our ancestors, believing everything laid down according to the law or written in the prophets. I have a hope in God, a hope that they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Therefore, I do my best always to have a clear conscience toward God and all people. Now, after some years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to offer sacrifices. While I was doing this, they found me in the temple, completing the rite of purification without any crowd or disturbance. But there were some Jews from Asia. They ought to be here before you to make an accusation if they have anything against me. Or let these men here tell what crime they had found when I stood before the council, unless it was this one sentence that I called out while standing before them. It is about the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today." But Felix, who was rather well informed about the way, adjourned the hearing with the comment, "When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case." Then he ordered the centurion to keep him in custody, but to let him have some liberty and not to prevent any of his friends from taking care of his needs. Some days later, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him speak concerning justice, concerning faith in Christ Jesus. And as he discussed justice, self-control, and the coming judgment, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present. When I have an opportunity, I will send for you." At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul, and for that reason, he used to send for him very often and converse with him. Thank you, God, for the excellent examples we find in your word for facing all our trials with faith. As I was preparing this Bible A to Z series, I was quite surprised to discover that there are no Old Testament names that start with the letter F. You really Google it. So, although I had thought initially I would do this series first through the Old or First Testament and then through the New Testament, I had to backtrack a bit. And then I found Felix in the New Testament. The story of Paul standing trial before Felix is a masterful piece of grace under pressure. It's a great example for us for how to present our testimony, no matter who we stand before. And it's also a sad story of someone missing out on the greatest gift of all, knowing and following Jesus Christ because he was afraid. The backstory for all this is in Acts 21, 22, and 23. I urge you to take some time to read it later. To sum it up, Paul had come to Jerusalem to perform the necessary purification rituals after completing a vow. But while he was there, some people stirred up trouble by accusing him of teaching Jewish people to forsake the law of Moses and of bringing Greeks into the temple. This was all bogus because while they'd seen Paul walking with an Ephesian named Trophimus in the city, Paul hadn't brought him into the temple. But a mob seized Paul and started beating on him, and a Roman tribune arrested Paul and asked the people who he was and what he had done. As the mob did in another Bible story we heard recently, some shouted one thing and some shouted something else. Paul asked to speak to the crowd, and he shared the story of how he had encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus and turned from persecuting the Christians to embracing the new religion. The people were enthralled by the story at first, but when he started talking about how he was being sent to the Gentiles, they got furious again and started shouting, throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust in the air. The tribune brought Paul before a council that contained both Sadducees and Pharisees. He knew exactly what to say to them. He said, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial concerning the hope of the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dissension began between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees said that there was no resurrection or angels or spirits, but the Pharisees acknowledged all three. So a great clamor arose, and some of the Pharisees stood up and said, "We find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" The upshot was that Paul was finally sent to the governor Felix to stand trial. Felix was the procurator of Judea at the time. History does not paint a positive picture of this person, this man whose name in Latin means happy. He was not. He ruled his district with a heavy hand. One historian said he reveled in cruelty and lust and exercised the powers of a king with the outlook of a slave. And indeed, he had been a slave before getting in on the good side of the Emperor Claudius and being freed and given this position of power. One of Paul's accusers at the trial was the attorney Tertullus. He flattered Felix, fawning over him and filling his ears with fancy flippancy, referring to his reforms and his finesse and foresight. He tried to present Paul as a rabble-rouser, just as Demetrius had, labeling him as a pest, an agitator, a temple profaner, and a ringleader of a new and imposing sect. He called the Christians Nazarenes, a rather derogatory term. Remember how one of Jesus' own disciples once said, "Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So in a not very subtle way, Tertullus tried to undermine Paul and the new religion he espoused. I expect Tertullus expected Paul would stammer and stutter and flail and flutter in front of Felix, but that didn't happen. Paul stood tall and shared his defense. He disputed the charges against himself and stated his belief in God, in God's laws, and in the hope of a resurrection to come. It was Paul at his finest. He spoke his truth quietly and clearly with, as he said, a clear conscience before God. He didn't mince words. He told Felix and Drusilla not what they wanted to hear, but what they needed to hear. He wasn't afraid of Felix or his accusers. It was Felix who was afraid. What did Felix fear? What frightened Felix? When he heard Paul speak about justice, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix flinched. He couldn't think about how he was living his own life. He had even enticed his wife to leave her husband for him. He was undoubtedly well ensconced in the well-documented debaucheries of Rome. He knew exactly what Paul was saying. Paul was calling him on the carpet to defend his own deeds. He was calling on him to think about what he had done with his life and what he was doing, and was holding out to him an opportunity to repent and to be better and to do better. Who was the prisoner now? Paul was freer than Felix. Felix saw in a flash what it would mean to follow this way that Paul embraced. Felix would have to forego all the trappings he had grown accustomed to, wealth, power, freedom to do whatever he wanted. Felix fumed. Felix liked feeling he was in power. Felix fretted over what he would have to give up to embrace this new way. And even more, what would other people say if he did? Felix was frightened of what the future would hold if he forsook Rome and found Jesus. Felix flaunted his power over Paul for 2 years. The scripture says he was hoping Paul would offer him a bribe to secure his relief. Felix flubbed it. Felix didn't understand the fortune Paul held out for him. It was a fortune greater than any amount of money Paul could procure and pass on to him. It was a fortune of immeasurable worth and wealth. Paul offered Felix the chance to have a new and fuller life, a new and more abundant life, a life where we wouldn't have to fear the coming judgment, a life where he would be more free than he had ever been before. But Felix floundered and ultimately flopped. He just couldn't bring himself to accept the free gift of salvation and redemption found in Christ. He fought the force of Paul's convicting words. So Felix became a footnote in history, a failure and a foible. Felix, who had a fantastic chance to find faith, and blew it. He thought he could put off making a life-changing decision. He thought he could do it at a more convenient time, on his terms, not God's. There was no more acceptable time for him to say yes to the Lord than right then and there. Who knew when his final foray would find him? He kept sending for Paul to talk with him some more, and I'm sure every time Paul held out to Felix the fountain of living water, the floodwaters of faith that would cleanse his soul and make him whole. But Felix fended him off every time. After 2 years, he still hadn't made up his mind. So the story of Felix ends sadly. What lessons do we learn from him? Not to put off accepting the gift of life and love that Jesus holds out to us. Not to feign interest and then flap our fingers and say, oh, some other time, not today. Felix was clearly convicted, but he foolishly faced away. Paul sets an example for us. He didn't consider Felix's status when he was in front of him. To Paul, Felix was just another sinner in need of salvation. He said the same things to Felix he would have said to anyone, regardless who they were, proconsul, tribune, emperor. They all needed to come to Jesus and find redemption and release from all their fears. Paul had the powerful foundation of his knowledge of Jesus Christ to bolster him and help him shove aside any fear he may have had. We need to keep Paul's prowess in mind. In front of Felix, he didn't falter or flatter. He knew what he believed and he knew what had happened to him, and he was always eager to share his experience. He knew what Felix lacked. God's promise through Jesus Christ is to forgive our sins and give us a new start in life. What if Felix had embraced that? What if he said he realized he'd done some bad things in his life, but now he wanted to change? He trembled because he wanted to do it, but he just couldn't. He made his choice. He wanted his power and his prestige. He didn't realize he could truly live up to the meaning of his name, happy, prosperous, if he had just made that life-changing decision. Felix was on the verge, but he fell back and found himself flailing hopelessly and helplessly. Inflexible Felix, forsaken Felix, foolish Felix. Farewell, Felix. Let us pray. God, we do feel for Felix, giving up a chance to live a life worthy of you. But we thank you for Paul and his quiet persistence and his firm conviction that only your Christ can make a necessary difference in someone's life. If we find any Felixes in our field of faith, give us the wise words and quiet strength of Paul to share what you have done for us. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
See.